I think the it's already empty. It was empty at the first day or so.
Talking about off topic.
Okay.
So that's the way it works.
Right. We're doing overtime anyway. So yeah, let's say thanks for listening to this one time only. Well, maybe next time there is an event in the Netherlands. English edition of the Hackerfunk. And yeah, tune in again when there's our next regular show, and also subscribe to the Termitinitus podcast. It will all be in the show notes on www.hackerfunk.ch.
So bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
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 Oof. Cool.
Fist again.
Oh, it's becoming dark again. Just one music on, but
no problem.
It can be fade out anytime.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The guy who's going to present is outside waiting for his guest.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm in a particular hurry. Just, yeah.
Well, we said that we're doing a 2-hour show, so
yeah,
that's. Yeah, we're very grateful. Thanks for the opportunity.
No problem.
Well, we used to make a 1-hour show.
Yeah,
so.
In Swiss German.
Oh,
and with a more beat-up studio than
this iPhone versprochen.
Really professional. Yeah, we overdo ourselves. Hello. The lights need some fixing. Yeah, I'm trying to do that.
Ja, danke schön, dass ihr da wart.
Ja.
Das war
ja,
richtig
danke.
Klasse. Es hat großen Spaß gemacht.
Cool.
Und ihr hattet den richtigen blöden Level drauf.
Ja.
Das muss einfach sein.
Danke.
So.
Village.
Da kommen wir jetzt nicht gerade noch mit zu euch. Weißt du, war doch da irgendwas von Bier.
Oder so, ja. Und nachher gehen wir bei uns gepflegt grillen.
Genau.
Ah, genau, die haben wir.
Ja, nochmal danke, dass das kurzfristig noch gegangen ist.
Ja, also ich bin froh, dass ich jetzt nicht ausgehe.
Ja, sonst hätten wir wahrscheinlich nochmal heute Noisy Village genervt, bis wir euch gefunden hätten.
Ja.
Aber
so.
Hat nicht viel Spaß gemacht.
Are you doing the next show?
Okay, there's some music running on my laptop, but you can fade out any time if you like.
I'll fade out once Walter is ready. Or the mid.
Okay, well, shall I prepare another?
Yes.
Well, it's running for 2.5 minutes.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
I think, Walter? 2.5 minutes?
Yeah,
thank you. I don't know, I have to throw it
down.
Yeah,
I see. Okay. Because that's one.
And thanks for letting us doing this stuff ourselves.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
We want more people to do the shows because we can't fill it. We get. Yeah. No. Not at all. And if. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. This is real radio. Everything. Is real. Well, we've got the license. We've got the
yeah?
D rights. Everything.
You
can play whatever you want.
In Grimbergen blond. Heb je muntjes nodig? Oké. Okay. We moeten geen muntjes meer kopen. Ik wil de catering boycotten.
Ja, maar.
Heb je gezien de Twitter?
It's really boring after a while.
Ik wil nog alleen maar bij food hacking eten en bij de volunteers. Dat is beter eten dan echt te ranzig.
Ja.
Oh, nog een minuutje.
Bier?
Cola, alsjeblieft.
Cola. Water, beer? Vegan.
I have one.
Oh, you have one.
Oké. If you're going to talk into the microphone.
Yes.
Put it really close to your face.
Okay.
Should be almost eating the microphone.
Okay.
The closer the better. And you can pull it towards you if you want. Yeah. 28 seconds, Walter.
Okay.
Ik gooi er eerst een jingle overheen en dan eerst een jingle overheen en dan.
Ja. I called Janneke and I texted her.
Okay.
Hey Walter, casual.
Say again.
Casual.
Yeah. Casual. Yes, this is very casual. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Righteous Ranting, and as usual, starting way too late, and also waiting for some guests to drop in. But this evening's theme is privacy, and we have already one guest from the Brussels bubble. And the Brussels bubble doesn't involve many champagne bubbles, well, sometimes it does. Regan, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Sure. So I'm Regan. I'm a senior policy analyst at Access, based in Brussels, in the bubble, as you say. And Access is an international organization that, a digital rights group that defends the digital rights of users around the world. So I spend a lot of my time talking to different policymakers to make the laws around information communication technologies more friendly to human rights.
Oh, that's very important work, I would say. What's the big deal with privacy in Brussels right now?
Well, finally, privacy is a hot topic. Basically last year, the European Commission has proposed to update and strengthen their current privacy rules. They proposed a regulation and a directive, and this is still currently being discussed. So the regulation is quite a welcome proposal. It has a lot of great things in it. It doesn't really change much in terms of the current legal infrastructure, in terms of what it provides for users and what is really the realistic state of affairs right now in terms of consent and the right to erasure, etc. But it would improve a lot of things that are missing in the current situation, which is enforcement and harmonization. And so since it was proposed last year, the regulation has been under consistent attack by different types of lobbyists. The online advertising agency has been going bananas because the internet would collapse because individuals would potentially have to consent to being tracked online. And this has been one of the problems for us to make sure that the regulation is actually strong and does in fact do what it's supposed to do, which is to protect the rights of citizens.
Obviously, if you are into marketing, you will never be able to gain consent from anyone, isn't it?
Exactly. That's one of the most funny rebuttals that we saw the past little while, is that the online advertising agency just saying, like, you want to increase consent? You want people to actually understand how they're being tracked and potentially object to being tracked and profiled? They would never, you know, consent to these kinds of practices. It's actually, it has been quite ridiculous and quite surprising the amount of different types of parties and corporations and even foreign governments that have been coming out to try to poke holes into this potentially very good framework.
Okay, just for our listeners' understanding, you mentioned it being a regulation and the term that is usually used is a directive. What's the difference between the two?
Well, yeah, right now the law that regulates data protection and privacy in the EU is a directive. And what a directive basically does is the European Commission, which is kind of like the executive arm of the EU, it sets kind of a minimum standard. And then the different member states are able to implement this in different ways. So the current situation right now is basically 27 and now 28 different interpretations of this law and how privacy is supposed to be protected, how your data is transferred, et cetera. So the regulation, on the other hand, would be essentially directly applicable. So instead of having 28 different laws or 28 different interpretations of this law, there would just be one.
Which would be great for all of us, basically. Other question on that note, what does it cover? Does it cover businesses, governments, law enforcement, intelligence, defense? What does it do? What doesn't it do? I mean, would the Snowden-like revelations on, and which were followed up by revelations about the French and the British tapping wholesale the internet, would that be touched upon by this regulation or not?
Well, originally it was supposed to be a data protection reform package, and the package was including two pieces of legislation. One was a regulation that was on the free flow of data in kind of a commercial sense and also regulating government institutions, but then it was coming with a directive that would specifically regulate law enforcement access and processing of this data. So that would have been more kind of under the, I guess, PRISM government law enforcement aspect of privacy and data protection. But because the regulation is so large, it has at least, I think it's 91 articles. It's very long.
I thought it was over 100. I thought it went up to 112, actually.
112. I think it's in the 90s.
But I don't think either of us have actually read it.
No, it's been a long couple of days at home, and I might have gotten some sun today. So I can't remember exactly how many articles, but anyway, the point is that there is a lot of articles, and it's quite complicated, and this regulation is kind of passing through the European Parliament, and right now they're kind of discussing what they want the regulation to look like, and this comes in terms of amendments and having to go through each and every article is taking so long that they've essentially decided to suspend this law enforcement part until the regulation is passed. So in terms of if the regulation is directly relating to law enforcement, it's not. But I think there are a lot of aspects in the regulation that would have made the situation for European citizens much better. And what it does seek to do is to make privacy practices for governments and companies much better in terms of minimizing data data collection and processing, but also giving citizens much more control over their personal data.
Okay, let's discuss this parliamentary process after some music. And to show our complete lack of bias, I've picked a song called So-Called Democracy by Steve Hain.
I'm sorry. That's okay. I was not expecting.
What
weren't you expecting? It's a shame. The guy who just about bumped in was one of the guys who has been trolling you. We should actually have pulled him to the microphone. The guy who just stepped in.
Yeah.
And
so why? He wanted to troll the other guy.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
If you meet the other guy, you will notice in 30 seconds why you would want to troll.
Okay.
Also,
is he an Ohm?
It's a very well-meaning guy, but he's completely ADHD and completely autistic. A wonderful combination, being autist and having attention deficit disorder. It's kind of like after 5 minutes you want to punch him in the face for no good reason at all.
And then he walks away, you forget, and he comes back, you think, oh, that wasn't that nice. Oh, fuck, he wasn't nice.
Stone hat. Stony.
Yeah, hij is gewoon. Het is geen verkeerde kerel. Maar.
No, but it's ultimately annoying.
Yeah. One of the most annoying guys I've ever met. What a nice one at that.
You have 3 minutes left.
Sure, I'm sorry I didn't really explain what was in the regulation.
That's okay. That gives me the opportunity to hear myself talking as well.
Because I normally have these like, oh, it includes harmonization, control for user rights.
It makes it more organic. It makes it more authentic. It's okay. It's not like,
not a presentation.
Okay.
Walter? Ja. Oh nee, toch niet. Stilte. It was a silence in the music. Mm. And it was like, where's the music? Where's the music? Walter. Oh, there it is.
and Walter,
if you want to hear it, you have to take a microphone, a headphone.
Yes.
Yeah. We have 8 chairs left.
Oh, yes, I'm fine. I'm not sure where it is. Oh, never mind. The Jillian thing is not sitting well. But
Bill,
I didn't realize it was...
Say again?
Such a...
You can sit down.
I don't want to sit down.
She doesn't want to sit down. She wants.
Well, don't tell me about her stubbornness.
Nu heb je het stuk gemaakt. De koptelefoonversterker ligt er aan de andere kant af. Hoe lang hebben we nog, Walter?
We hebben nog 1 minuut 13.
Even die hard.
Well, it's typically you. Anything you touch breaks. You're a born tester.
Pak die koptelefoon die voor je ligt. Ja.
Well, you're just being yourself and breaking stuff by looking at them.
Jingeltje en dan?
Ja, nog 35 seconden. Je zou hem ook kunnen uitveden en de jingle erachteraan kunnen.
Maar ik wacht.
Ja.
Of zullen we de station call erachteraan doen?
Hm?
Station call of Prism.
Dat,
Jij bent de programmamaker, ik ben de techneut.
You want to talk about Prism?
Ik ben heel flexibel.
Oké.
Gewoon station call.
Hm?
Station call, man. So that was So-Called Democracy by Stefan TV from his or her album ST. It's Creative Commons, and basically most Creative Commons stuff is crap, but I'm trying to figure out less crappy Creative Commons.
Did you say his or her album?
Well, I have no idea what the gender is of Stefan TV.
It could be either.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
It's the Andrew Guinness name. And then still you also have those funny people who pick a female's name for a male artist or the other way around. It happens. And it's not terribly relevant either. We're discussing the parliamentary process to which the ever-lovely data protection regulation. I had a chat a while ago with Rob Hongrijp, who's also rather famous in these circles, and he made an observation which I found rather striking. He said, Brussels makes me feel that everything is designed to bore you to tears, even subjects you're passionate about. Anything that happens in Brussels is just seems to be intended to make you fall asleep. How do you feel about that as part of the Brussels bubble?
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty valid observation. I can completely understand how people, even working in the Brussels bubble, could feel that way. Because the way that the European works, it's like the European Union works is like it's like this very complex bureaucratic maze that's basically put on top of a whole bunch of countries that are essentially completely different from one another. And coming up with, you know, one law or even, you know, a minimum standard for some kinds of laws is incredibly complicated and complex. And there's three different kinds of main institutions that interact with each other in order to get these kinds of standards or you know, binding laws in all the countries, and they have different levels of power, and they have different processes on how this legislation kind of takes it from the beginning to the end. You know, there's the European Commission, which is kind of the executive arm, and then there's the, you know, the European Council, which is the representation of all the different member states, and then there's the European Parliament, which is the elected body in this kind of framework.
We'll get back to the data protection regulation a bit later on, but if you were to identify the most invigorating anecdote you ever had with interacting with the parliament and the most depressing one, what would those two be?
On the spot, the invigorating one, I would go back to the first comment and I have to think about that. But I do remember the most depressing one. And it was in, oh, I forget the year. Maybe it was 2 years ago, when the European Commission was holding a conference about the Data Retention Directive. And Commissioner Cecilia Malmström, Swedish commissioner responsible for home affairs and security in general, the one that is essentially responsible for passing data retention in Europe, had this conference and gathered us there. And it was, well, the Data Retention Directive passed in 2005. It was supposed to come up to review. Maybe it would be canceled because this was kind of a more or less security measure of collecting all of this telecommunications data.
It's only metadata.
It's only metadata, exactly. That's the meme. So anyway, it was possible that you know, this regulation was coming up to a sunset clause, and Commissioner Malmström essentially stood in front of everyone and said, "Data retention is here to stay," and that was definitely heart-wrenching.
Okay, and now to the most invigorating one. You've had time enough now to come up with something invigorating.
The most invigorating one might have been almost the same time period, again, about data retention. I'm sorry to keep bringing this up. But one of, well, I mentioned the three kind of major institutions, but there's another institution. There's a body that kind of, like a privacy watchdog that watches over these different institutions. It's called the European Data Protection Supervisor, or the EDPS. And at a conference more or less in the same time, he said that, you know, data retention is the worst piece of legislation that the Commission or the European Union has ever passed. And that's interesting for kind of an institution that has more or less a bureaucratic role to take such a stance like that. And I think it kind of really underlines how bad this law is.
And that made you the happiest.
It made me happy, yeah, because the EDPS isn't necessarily, well, it is not an NGO. It is not an activist organization. I mean, for an organization like mine or myself working in this quote-unquote Brussels bubble, sometimes, especially working on digital rights issues, we sometimes get kind of, I guess, profiled into a certain section of society where it's like, oh, well, of course you think that. Or, you know, oh, you're the geeks or you're the weirdos with the tin hats. Of course you care about this, blah, blah, blah. And it's much easier to ignore these kinds of criticisms. But then when it comes from other institutions and when we're all more or less saying the same thing, then it has much more impact. And these are very good to influence this very complex system that does take a long time to affect change and to get legislation passed. So it's very helpful. Invigorating, maybe not, but
yes, you have depressed me. I think yeah. I need some music. Okay. I found something called Our Crappy Little Fairy Tale to keep people depressed.
Wil jij niet meedoen? No response van Janneke so far? Janneke's loetjes van Bof zouden erbij zijn, zei ze gisteren.
Ja, die is het duidelijk vergeten, minstens.
Ja.
Op zijn best.
Ga ik nog jarenlang aan nadragen, want dat gaat ze vreselijk vinden.
Yeah?
Yeah. In my Janneke career.
Nothing. I don't know why.
I had
have you? Do you have her number?
No. I had even emailed
her. But did
her.
You? Yeah, you did email her.
Yes, I have emailed her hours ago already.
Well, she should... Did she go home?
I'm afraid she went home.
Wait a minute. I talked to her this afternoon and she said she would either go home tonight or tomorrow, but she agreed to do the show.
Yeah, so I'm going to complain to her for centuries afterwards. Standing me up.
And not only you.
And Janneke is so punctual, she will hate that.
Yeah, maybe she forgot.
And we have proof.
Yes.
The worst part of it is forever and ever we'll have proof.
I'm in touch with my female side, nagging someone with a mistake for centuries. 2 minuten 22 nog. 2 minuten 22.
Psychic!
Yo.
Oh, what's up? Uitzending 1 gedaan. Ja.
Ja. Dat is het schema.
So what next? Walter? Walter?
3.
Sorry, how long is the show?
Until 11.
Okay.
So.
What else do you want to talk about? I still didn't really talk about what's in the regulation.
Say again?
I still didn't really answer your question.
I will Well, it's not very, what to me is most relevant is to inform
yeah.
camps like this.
Eindelijk.
Quite a few people just hanging out, but also having the radio on. So this is a way to kind of inform them in a slightly more laid-back way. Stuff they can do, for example, or stuff they should be worried about, stuff they should also a European parliamentarian about, stuff like that. So kind of trying to do the capacity building part of that. Every little bit helps. After this music, I will just ask you what worries you most about the developments surrounding this dossier, and then we can slowly move to what people can do themselves. Also, in what country action is most needed, stuff like that. And we have half a minute left now for the music. So you can start thinking. And I could also call Axel to drop by, but I'm not sure whether he will.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Walter.
Regulation. And yeah.
Ja, en...
Oh. We zitten alweer in de volgende song. Laten we die nog even pakken. Ook al heeft hij een hele foute titel.
Des te beter.
The song now playing is called No Lubrication. It's this...
No Education?
No Lubrication.
Oh! Oh! Okay.
Slightly dodgy title.
Let's listen to the lyrics.
Nice song.
There's actually much worse Creative Commons stuff in terms of lyrics and. It's all Creative Commons. Yes. Jamendo.com. This is reasonably recent, I think. I try to collect their non-crappy stuff, the 1%, basically. This has been curated already, somewhat.
Why are you sitting so far apart?
Because the show is about relational.
Because we hate each other. Oh, okay. Well, the initial plan was to have the show about privacy and relation problems. So.
okay.
It's kind of people moving away, mentioning that title.
Let's not get into that.
About 15 seconds left.
Okay. We gaan gewoon direct de microfoon open, geen jingles.
Okay, that was another goof up for me. After the song So-Called Democracy, I think it was, we got into slightly dodgy air territory with the song No Lubrication by John Sor and his African crew or something like that. And it's Afro safety, but yeah. On the other hand, No Lubrication may describe the lobbying process in Brussels here and there somewhat, maybe, perhaps.
Maybe, that's very, perhaps spot on in some ways.
Can you tell us a little bit more about lubrication or the lack thereof? And
or lack thereof, exactly. I mean, it's quite simple. Last year, way before the whole PRISM scandal actually broke, the EU had this idea to, update their laws and introduce greater enforcement, give individuals more control over the information, and it's incredibly important in this, day and age when we're using communications technologies all of the time, and we have so much data about us that is collected and stored in different databases, often without our consent or knowledge. To give individuals more control also would build more trust, and not just in the government, but in the companies and that we basically have to depend on in order to participate in the society, which is based around a lot of digital technologies. So it's quite simple.
You sound very Brussels to me.
I do sound Brussels, don't I? I think it's the sun, Walter.
Wouldn't you agree that data protection is the most suckiest title to anything?
It is kind of sucky. It's, the problem with it, it's not sexy and it doesn't mean anything to people. It's kind of like metadata. What does that mean? For the regular person.
Boring.
Yeah, boring. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. It's exactly the same thing. How does that exactly relate to me and how I use services and how, this would protect my rights, how I can make sure that I'm not being tracked without my consent or profiled, etc. These are all very important things, but when you actually get down to it, and this is one of the problems with the regulation, is that it's data protection law, which is very kind of complex in a way. There's, one sentence, you change one or two words, and it completely reverses the whole point.
How many changes are being proposed?
Well, there are roughly 4,000 amendments that have been put forward on this piece of legislation, which is a lot.
How the hell do you keep track of that?
Yes, that has been one of our most difficult tasks, is identifying what they mean, what group is putting them forward, and how we can actually translate what they all mean in practice to these politicians who are working on this regulation, that they're not all data protection lawyers or privacy lawyers. They don't all know, how communications technologies work, how nuanced certain aspects especially on the internet are. So that's been actually one of the challenges. But I would say probably the biggest challenge, which is what you brought up, is this lobby plague, this attack on this piece of legislation. It's something that I've never seen before.
For our listeners, we're talking about lobbyplague.eu.
Yes, yes, that was a brilliant, actually, platform that has been set up that actually tracks these types of amendments and where they came from. So, again, the politicians working on this are not data protection lawyers. So what actually happens in these Brussels bubbles, but also in DC and even in Canada, et cetera, is that, experts come in and talk to these parliamentarians, the decision makers. And sometimes the experts are representing very large corporations that have an interest in destroying privacy. And what we've seen and what you can see on lobbyplague.eu is basically the whims and wills of these big companies like Facebook and et cetera to propose amendments on this piece of legislation.
Talking about Facebook, I went to the inter-parliamentary hearing on the data protection regulation myself in last October, and had the utterly and completely surreal statement that having less regulation is good for SMEs, and SMEs are important. And Facebook is an SME because it has only 40 employees in Ireland.
I was there too. I remember. I remember my blood boiled a little bit.
I want my 2 days back.
That unfortunately happens quite a bit in Brussels. But that's an actually really interesting point about how the lobbying has been functioning in Brussels. Apart from, you know, other, I don't know, in DC, for example, there might be, you know, a wave of companies or say large companies can kind of go in, you know, in the dozens, et cetera. But it, in Brussels, it's kind of been manifesting in much more of a nuanced way. So companies are not coming into the parliament as, you know, the Googles, the Oracles, the Microsofts, but they have an association. And the association has an association, and there's an association of that association. So they're all kind of representing
Europeans for innovation.
Yes, and so this particular collective, I'm still not quite sure how Facebook can seriously justify themselves as an SME in Europe, a small and medium enterprise, but they did.
We have a former social democrat, European parliamentarian as a spokeswoman, and no less.
But it's the same excuse as I think actually Facebook and other large companies make this excuse that, oh, we're just like a rough startup, you know? We started in a garage. We don't understand privacy. We're like innovating and stuff. So you know, if you put regulations down, then this will prevent this innovation and we won't be able to, you know, mine, harvest your data and sell it to whoever we want. So, but when a company's been around for 10, 20 years and they are operating in more than, you know, 40, 50 countries, you can no longer really call yourself one an SME or a company that's just kind of starting out.
I couldn't agree more, basically. And, lest I think we should move on to from the lobbyists. But I just found a little song which would be very appropriate for on that particular subject, and it's called Little Tiny Rats.
How do you find these songs? Do you have them like all planned?
No.
How do you do that? Little Tiny Rats. It just like...
Yes, I have a playlist of 57 songs I recently found that were kind of bearable.
With like ridiculous names.
Say again?
With ridiculous names?
Yes. Yes, it's... And there's also stuff that is, well, like the no lubrication ones. There's several ones of those. I think, well, that might be less appropriate.
Moi.
I'm also collecting a set of songs. They're all in German. Just to troll the Germans on the field.
Niet leuk, maar goed.
And the first radio show we did, we started out with Deutschland muss sterben. Deutschland muss sterben?
Germany must die.
And it's made by a German, by the way.
Oh, but I'm still fun.
Skype. It's actually not that bad. It's kind of Britpop-like.
Yeah. Little supergrass-like. How many seconds? Minutes?
2 minuten 50 seconden nog. En ik zit eigenlijk aan te denken om nog een song achteraan te knallen. En dat is dan Time to Forget. En dan kunnen we naar The Right to be Forgotten.
You want to talk about The Right to be Forgotten?
Oh, you don't want to talk about that one?
We can. It's a bit of a red
herring. You'd rather not.
Huh?
You'd rather not.
No, we can talk about it. It's one of the more like controversial aspects, but I think it's the least relevant. But I guess that's a discussion in itself. Me, rights are...
To me, it's an interesting mistake by the commission.
Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah. But yeah, this song carries on for 2 minutes, and then I will do Time to Forget, which is another almost 3 minutes, and then we'll kind of carry on that conversation, and then we, it's already at the 40 minutes mark, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, time flies when you're growing old.
Time flies when you're tired and making a radio show for the first time in your life.
Are you making it for the first time?
No.
Talking about you.
Oh, yeah, first time. So
but this is also the fun part of it. Basically, if you do just crap, it's okay with people. Some people really find it amusing when you do crap on the radio. And
this is just to own.
Yep. We have an FM frequency. The area is not there just for decoration purposes. There is... we got published as a temporary public broadcasting station for radio. And we have listeners on the streams and on the DAC network. If you dial a specific number on your DAC,
1047, our frequency,
you end up with listening to the radio on your DAC. And you walk about on camp. Sometimes people just have a DAC sitting about, tuned to this.
Ah, cool.
And other people listen to the radio. Other people have an FM radio. Yeah. And I think we think there's a 20-kilometer circle. Radius, so it's 40 kilometers.
That picks up the frequency?
That can pick up the frequency.
Cool.
And so people driving across like, so what the fuck is this?
and especially at night, because you haven't heard what we do at night.
What do you do at night, by the way?
Well, daytime, it's mostly completely drunk people ranting at each other, making stupid noises.
Last night we had a sing-along.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Very, very bad. It's horrible.
Yeah, but we were doing. Are you going to start a song? This next song? Okay. You want me to do anything?
No.
Okay.
Ik weet niet best dit. Deze. Het kan wat worden.
It's very 70s, badly done. It's a badly done early 70s.
Rendering.
The music is hilarious.
Say again.
The music is just like so random.
Yeah, it's pretty random.
And Walter's getting very good at finding these songs.
Well, actually, we did it for a while from our hackerspace, and I actually had Axel mailing me, I really want the playlist of the stuff you did, because it was awesome 8-bit stuff. I used to do so, but nowadays I just completely wing it.
Yesterday evening we were like, okay, what are we going to do tonight? Let's play a song and think about it. Random play shuffle,
and it just went we drinking and didn't come back in an hour.
Nice. No,
actually, your show was for 1.5 hours because next door, what's supposed to start at 11, started at 11:30 as usual.
And there were some people sitting in the studio, and there was this girl, Herma, like, you can't be seriously doing it. Yes, I can. You just saw that. Just completely shocked. I was so completely wasted after the panel. It was
last night?
Yeah. The panel on ethics.
Jillian was on, right?
Yeah.
That night?
That was at 6 last night. And after that, I did heralding for another thing, and I was just spent. About 40 seconds left.
Okay.
Well, you're a former punker and new waver. You should be able to appreciate this. Yes, you are. Yeah, that's okay. Okay, that was Little Tiny Rats by Patchwork from the album Traps, followed by Time to Forget,
from the Monster Brothers, from their album Colossus. And yes, it's all crappy Creative Commons music, and I'm trying to get the bearable stuff to you, but I'm not always succeeding, according to other people in the studio. I'm so glad you're still with us. Anyway, the Time to Forget thing was intended to get us to what may be an interesting illustration of how you can frame a conversation about privacy wrong, because part of this data protection regulation was included the right to be forgotten, which I think was a complete disaster.
Yeah, I'm really curious to know why you think it's a disaster, actually, because I think there's two things. One, it's kind of a catchy phrase, and I don't think it actually changes much in what actually already exists in European framework. And it is one of the most kind of well-known aspects of the regulation, and it is the one that kind of strikes fear into the hearts of the US and US companies. It's this, oh no, the right to be forgotten could enable censorship. People will be able to delete their data. They will have to demand that companies delete everything. And actually, when you look at what's in the regulation, that's not at all what it says.
Yeah, but then you have to look what's in the regulation. We already have established that it's a massive piece of paper.
Yes, but
I'm talking about framing the conversation. And this is precisely the reason why I think this is such a bloody disaster, because it enabled a split in civil society, or a potential split in civil society, with the freedom of expression advocates. So, and the freedom, I consider myself a freedom of expression jihadist, as far as you can be a freedom of expression jihadist, compared to the privacy paranoid lunatics who could be played out against each other. Well, I'm kind of exaggerating here, obviously, but to me that was kind of the example of not really thought through.
Mm-hmm. I think in terms of framing the debate, that was probably in hindsight a mistake on behalf of the commission. I have no idea what they
were thinking.
You're
talking Brussels again.
Yeah. On behalf of the people that actually wrote this regulation that put it on the table for people to discuss and amend. And maybe what they were trying to do was to create these kinds of buzzwords that would take something as boring as data protection and turn it into something that was a little more exciting and a little more accessible to people that were not data protection lawyers or completely, you know, engrossed in this Brussels bubble. But I think what ended up happening is actually kind of backfired on them. And this has caused this ridiculous and not ridiculous, but almost like it's like a red herring in a way, that even civil society was divided about, you know, what are we going to do? Is it data protection or is it freedom of expression? As if we have to make this choice between one right or the other. But then when you do get down to it, I don't think that it would change much, although the article could be better. And now I'm getting Brussels again and really, really policy analyst about it and kind of autistic in a way. But I've read enough of these articles from, not civil liberties groups, I mean, different interests from the United States that this is, you know, the biggest danger to, the biggest threat to free speech right now online was this, the right to be forgotten. And I just think it got used as an excuse to poke holes into this regulation to undermine what Europe is trying to do, which is just simply to make sure that companies that operate in Europe abide by the law and that they obey privacy laws a little bit more. So I just think it got blown out of proportion. It's very unfortunate.
Slightly related to the subject, the difference between anonymous and pseudonymous data. And what are the typical things bandied about on those subjects in Brussels?
And what are the typical things?
What are the memes on pseudonymous data, anonymous data in Brussels?
Yeah, so that's another kind of, I would describe it as a loophole in the regulation, right? So even if you have kind of a decent framework, there are these kinds of very seemingly, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it's so bad to say, we should also protect pseudonymous data. We should also protect, or we should have definitions about anonymous data. Let's put in a definition about what it means so we know what we're supposed to protect and what we're not supposed to protect. And basically, the issue around pseudonymous data has become one of these biggest loopholes that has been very difficult to kind of overcome.
Is there such a thing as anonymous data anymore?
That's an interesting question because I don't know if I have an answer. It depends on the day.
It's a Friday.
It is a Friday. You're right, but it depends on how it's actually defined. If we're talking about in the text, if information is truly anonymized, that means that it's been completely deleted and it can never be re-anonymized. That's
basically what I am hearing you saying is that almost
you can never re-identify a person. So if you have a whole bunch of my data, my name, my address, my email, and you want to anonymize me and take that data and then assign a number to it and then keep that data in another database and say, oh, it's been anonymized. That's not anonymization.
But merely assigning a number to it, given enough data, you could establish patterns in the data, which then subsequently would result in it being linked to you.
Absolutely. And you don't even need actually personal data to identify an individual anymore because there is so much data floating around and you only need one or two or three pieces of data, even if it's public information, you're able to kind of single out and identify a person quite easily. So, and that's one of the changes of the digital explosion is that this concept of personal data, of it being, you know, your name, your email address, things that directly identify you, is becoming more nuanced and more complicated.
But doesn't the directive already say that also involves indirectly identification?
Yes, indirectly too, but there is a proposal to make it slightly even better to accommodate for the different ways that people can be actually singled out. So it's not just about having personal information. And this is when the pseudonymous data comes in, because this is why I say it's a loophole, because if companies are asking for pseudonymous data to not be protected in the same way as personal data. And that's really the issue, because if you have a pseudonym, or something that is not necessarily personal data, this can be used to identify someone. And if you can identify or single out someone, then this should be protected in the same way. You should have those same rights. But that's why it's been a loophole, because people, some lobbies, some interest groups are saying that if data is pseudonymized, if it's anonymized, then different rules apply. And what we've been trying to say is pseudonymous data is personal data. Your pseudonym, for example, on Twitter, that could be a pseudonym, but it could be a very well-known, everyone could know that it's you, even though it's not technically your full name. And that's what we've been trying to protect in the regulation, is that this kind of information that obviously identifies you is also protected in the same way.
But then we get back to a fair easy and practical question. For example, I have pseudonymous data in my database and I'm a DBA, and then I get a request to delete the data from someone whose name I don't know, at least I don't know, because the name is not in the database, it's merely a key, a number. How?
You're a DBA? Are you Brussels fighting me now by giving me acronyms?
Well,
battle
fire,
of acronyms.
Fire with fire.
Yeah, exactly. I have acronyms for you, Walter.
Yes. Alphabet soup.
Yeah.
DBAs are database administrators.
Oh, okay, okay.
And you will typically run into a bunch of those at events like this. So it's more likely for someone here to know what the DBA is than to know the difference between the directive and the regulation. Mm-hmm. So from our listeners' perspective, it's a perfectly reasonable acronym.
Touché.
But you haven't answered my question yet.
No, I haven't answered your question. So if a DBA gets a request to delete this information and they don't have the particular name, I can't speak from a DPA perspective, but what I can say is there is a very classic example of the fact that you don't necessarily, so you're kind of asking in a very practical application.
Yes, I have a public transport card for the municipality of Rotterdam, which is the coolest city in the Netherlands, if not in the world. And but the local transport authority only has the number on the chip ID, which does not even correspond to any number on the plastic outside. And if I were to send them a request and say, pull out all the my travels in your database because you have no, there's no reason for you to have them, and they have them. Delete them. They could respond saying, "Well, we have no idea about which chip ID you're talking, unless you drop by and show us your card."
And so, showing the card or giving personal information that would connect you to this number is unacceptable on the, in this
to me, it's a kind of counterintuitive that I have to supply more personal data in order to have less personal data being processed by my municipal transport authority.
Yeah, but you would have to identify yourself in order to have that information technically removed.
Yes, isn't that a bit a kind of a catch-22?
It sounds like a catch-22, but to me, the end result is basically that your information is deleted in the end.
You're way too pragmatic. I think I will leave it at that. I found something maybe somewhat uplifting, somewhat cynical. It's from Hyperviscent, from their album Pond-like Fiasco, and the title is "We've Got to Plug You In." And by the way, Regan, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Walter.
Is het ongeveer. We gaan ook gewoon tegen het einde aanlopen op deze ene song.
Ja, nice, Walter. You're getting the hang of this radio thing.
Yes, after a few years.
Yes.
Well, I have suggested to Jeremy to test this setup with these mushrooms. Claudia has a Brazilian acquaintance.
I was curating. Try to. There was some. So I sent out some. Guy from Brazil. Installation with NeuroWeb. It was NeuroStyle. It's a device that measures.
It synthesizes images based on your brain waves.
It's like it measures the
It measures your brain waves?
Yeah.
So she has a device, a headset that measures your brain waves.
Uh-huh.
And this guy has made software that, based on the input of such a device, synthesizes images.
Cool.
So it creates.
Like it's on, right?
That's crazy.
And we are
so
going
you
to
could watch and listen to different kinds of music and see what kind of brainwaves.
Yeah, that would
be awesome.
And I was suggesting to Jeremy to have him put them on and eat some mushrooms.
Yeah,
like
and see how they would change a lot.
And then kind of have a feedback loop of him watching the images.
Wow, that's
and
brilliant.
The fuck out.
Is that technology here?
Yes.
But is it?
I have to set it up now because that's. Actually, we had almost all the kit in our household, which is maybe a bit scary in itself.
He sent the code.
Yeah. But basically, she already had the hardware, the brain scanner. And
that's really, really, really cool.
And it's based mostly on free software. The drivers are not for the brainwave, the mindwave apparatus. But yes.
The thing is, I have a promise.
There are lots of people cameras. How do you think you get up and running?
After
the music is ended, Dave, what's going on?
I'll probably be starting the stream from the other side, and it usually takes 15 minutes for things to get settled, so and then at the 12 o'clock.
In that case, I'll just enter the shuffle play again. And
no, but just put it in shuffle, and then I'll disconnect when I'm done with your shit.
Yeah. Yes, it already switched to broken stereo.
Woo.
Different song. Okay, then let's move to Rainbow Island then. There are lots of people that. I'll ask Danny. Lucas. The adopted Pakistani from Limburg.
potential for collecting artists.
Natuurlijk, laat maar staan.
Dank je wel. Nou, het is.
Wanneer.